Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the magic world of Madison Square Garden.
Tonight on Madison Square Garden presents the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders. This program distributed locally by Madison Square Garden Cable Network and nationally by USA Network via satellite.
Tonight's game is brought to you by Löwenbräu. If you want the taste of a truly great beer, there's really only one. Tonight, let it be Löwenbräu. By Toyota, who invites you to see all the 1982 Toyota cars and trucks at your local dealer. Oh, what a feeling to drive a Toyota. And by Levi's Blue Jeans. When it comes to comfort, value, and fit, it's hard to top the original. Levi's Blue Jeans. New York Ranger Hockey is a special sports presentation of the USA Cable Network.
Monday, April 9th. Jim and Eddie here with you. Eddie, good evening. How are you? Eddie? I lost Eddie. All right, he's gone. Hold on, let's see if he's back. Are you there?
I'm here, baby.
There you are.
Yeah,
weird.
It blasted me right before it was about to go, this is Rangers hockey, this is New York Rangers hockey.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at the switchboard, so I didn't realize you were gone. I apologize.
Oh, no problem, my friend. What did we do? What did we cover in that minute? Am I behind?
All I said was, good evening, welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, Jim and Eddie with you. Eddie, how are you? And then I got the crickets.
Oh, big man is in his glory, Jimbo. Remember how every year I say I want to go to the party? Well, now we're hosting the party. So I'm happy as a clam. The real season has begun. I felt like we've been kind of in cruise control, kind of waiting for like the last month or so for this charade called the NHL playoffs to begin. Yeah?
Yep. No,
everybody, you're worrying me now. First off, I'd like to say happy birthday to the great Jeff Diamond, Cutter TML. longtime listener. I'll be sending him a special present for his dedicated listenership.
Oh, aren't you nice?
Well, you know, he's a good sport here. He's a good sport. He takes a lot of flack.
He does, but he gives it too.
Yeah.
You know, women are really starting to take over this chat room on a weekly basis.
They should actually because
Sue Papagallo's here, the big winner from last week. Meg is here. Running up the list here, I see
Bella Bell.
Here.
Great Amy Arnano is here.
Amy is here. Emily Lauren is here. It's
See, women are smarter than men. I'm not saying, I don't want to downgrade any of the guys in the chat room, but they find out, they discover things first before men do.
Right.
Now, some of these guys have been with us from the beginning, a long time, diehards, listeners, but women know where to get the best bargains. And let's face it, we are the best bargain on internet radio and for Ranger fans in the world. So,
Costa just said it's no longer a sausage party.
Yeah, it's true. The sausage fest is over. But let's not talk about ourselves. I mean, we could go on for hours and hours talking about how successful our fans are and the people who listen to this show. But how about our New York Rangers closing out the season and in not such a great fashion? We did not win the President's Trophy. I think everybody here knows that. I like how you put it. We won the Vice President's Trophy. So
exactly. Basically,
Walter Mondale.
Walter Mondale.
Walter Mondale Cup we have won. So I would like your thoughts on the last couple games. I know you got something set up with Tortorella and I'm sure we could start that firestorm off right away if you want, or we can talk about the Capitol. You know, you're the one who is in charge of the docket, so you tell me what you want to do.
Well, we could start with the Penguins game, which I admittedly did not watch the whole thing. I got home from work, and they were down 2-1, and I watched, the rest of the first period. The second period, and then as things got progressively worse, I switched over to root for Chris Kreider to lose, and that didn't go so well either. And I kept flipping back and forth between the Rangers and Boston College. I was watching Orpik with his knee on Stepan. I saw that live, screamed at the TV for a while, and then I watched the post game show. I heard the Tortorella comments, which we'll have for you here in a second. The Pittsburgh game did not surprise me. I kind of thought that, you know, after all the, you know, just the getting over that hump and finally clinching the whole shebang on against the Flyers, I kind of expected a little bit of a letdown against Pittsburgh, and Hank wasn't in goal, and so that didn't really surprise me that they mailed it in. There's no other way to put it, you know, for a team that, you know, usually gives 110%. They mailed it in against the Penguins. I was very disappointed at how they played against the Capitals.
Well, just going back to the Penguin game, with the first of all, Marty Biron gets a start. And once again, Marty, I don't know what it is in the first period, but you can't get out of a first period without looking like a total garbage can in that. I mean, again, he gives them two quick goals. And you're right. The Rangers didn't come with their greatest effort. And, you know, I wasn't expecting much with Biron. I was hoping for no injuries. And then this clown Orpik, who, you know, and I know in Tortorella's comments, he addressed this, but I said it with the guys I was watching. I said, you know, players really, why would you want to end somebody's career? I mean, that play, yes, there are people who say it didn't warrant a suspension. Even Larry Brooks, who wrote about it, Dancing Larry Brooks, who we very rarely agree with, he wrote a scathing article against Pittsburgh.
Loved it.
It was probably some of his best work. Just the irresponsibility of it. It's just, in this day and age, why would you do that? it just, to me, again, it didn't make much sense. And I was kind of outraged that the Rangers didn't use what muscle they had to kind of vindicate that. Now, Blaisma, whatever you want to call him, Bylsma. He was smart. In the last 7 to 10 minutes of that game, Malkin, Crosby, they didn't even sniff the ice. They didn't play. You know, and he's lucky. But the Rangers should have taken some kind of action towards it, I felt, with either the Frost or the Rupp, you know, somebody like that. Message has to be sent that you can't do that. And the Rangers have been great at doing that all year. But I thought there should have been. I was very upset by that play. You're in game 81 and you're pulling that nonsense. That's like, I want to ruin your chances for the playoffs. So I'm going to take a liberty.
Right.
So that's the way I felt. They did get punished by, you know, they got the penalty. That was a penalty, right? Yeah, the 5 minute, right? Yeah,
right.
They scored on that.
Which Penguins scored shorthanded on, didn't they?
Don't remember.
I think they did.
It could have. It was a long night, and then the Capitals. So what bothered you about that Capital performance other than the whole performance?
Well, I thought the national anthem was good.
Well, you gathered in Arizona with the contingent there to watch this. Another viewing party against Washington goes to pot.
Yeah, same score, 4-1. Did you see how big the crowd was?
No,
I posted the picture in the group.
Oh, the crowd for the – I thought you meant the game. No,
no,
it was a very good turnout.
Yeah, we had, I think, 13. So what started as a group of three, which was me, Keith, and Nick, has grown into – we had 13 there, and we were missing Nick, and we were missing a couple other people. So it could have even been – we could have been – we're pushing – we're going to be pushing 20 pretty soon. So it was nice to get everybody together. And
that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
that's
considering
where you get a Coyote viewing party.
I don't know if you could get 20 people for a Coyote viewing party. But, yeah, we commandeered the whole patio. We had all three TVs. Two TVs had the Rangers on, and then Justin wanted the Yankee game on, so they put the Yankee game. But we had all three TVs. We had the whole patio basically to ourselves. So it was nice. It was funny. We were sitting there watching the game, and all of a sudden this car pulls up, parks right up front, and this whole family gets out, and they're all in Diamondbacks gear, and the back of their SUV opens, and they all start changing out of their Diamondbacks gear and putting on Rangers jerseys. It was this guy John who found me on Twitter, and he brought his whole family along, and they were all there. So, you know, of course by then we were down, I think, 3-4 at that point, but they came anyway, and we had a good time, aside from the result of the game.
Well, I got to say I was very disappointed in a lot of ways. I really thought that they would come out and take it. But, again, you're down so early again. They give up, you know, Ovechkin scores. I thought Henrik was not on his game again. He looked better, I think. I don't know, you know, it's tough to – I tried to blank that game out, you know, but he didn't play well. They didn't look like they were into it until later in the game. But by then it was, you know, it was all over, you know. When you're down 4-0, it's you know, it's tough to come back from. And I don't know what else you want to say about the game. You know, there was some question whether Tortorella was sent, at least the morons and on the broadcast team were saying that, I think it was Milbury said that he was sending mixed messages to Tortorella by saying the game doesn't count, but they know that the president's trophy is on the line. And whatever it was, the Rangers could have shown up and played decently like they wanted to take that game, and I felt that was not the case. They have to come out hard. And once again, I feel bad because of the home fans. the home fans got the, you know, they got gypped out of actually seeing the conference as far as, you know, the regular season goes, and then they got chipped out of seeing a President's Trophy. So,
right,
and they've been great at home all year too. So you kind of expected them to do better, but I was not. And then you have Braden Holtby starts, and I'm like, okay, let's get some shots. And then this guy starts playing like Jacques Blount. They get 35 shots or whatever they got.
Right,
good. And I'm kind of glad they're not playing the Capitals in the first round now, because I, you know, you look at the last 3 years. You lose to Varlamov, okay?
Right.
He was, I think, a rookie that year.
Yep.
Then they bring in Neuvirth last year. Rangers couldn't beat him. I couldn't go another series to see Braden Holtby become another star. So I was glad that it wound up not being the Caps. And that's all I got to say about that.
Would you agree that may be one of the top five worst games Henrik Lundqvist has ever played as a Ranger?
Well, I can't remember every game, but I think it certainly is one of the worst he's played this year.
I mean, you could throw in a couple from probably a couple of Montreal games up at the Hell Center.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, let's call it
he looked like he wasn't moving, like it was...
Yeah. I think it was the second goal. He was flat-footed. He was just standing there. Very un-Hank-like.
Do you or the people at large listening to this broadcast think that, and God forbid, that he played that game injured? Do you think that injury is fully healed?
He said he was healthy. I mean, he's the only one who knows for sure. He didn't look it, but, you know, he says he's healthy. Who am I to argue with him?
Right. Because I remember that, you know, I had flashbacks to Davidson in the Stanley Finals where he played hurt because he, you know, it was either him or Doug Sotar or Wayne Thomas or whatever, there's the backup, and he didn't want to miss the cup because it was his, you know, kind of like his swan song, you know, like his... Well, you may never be there again. So he played hurt. I'm wondering if Henrik is thinking that, even though the playoffs is really where it's, you know, make or break for that kind of thinking. So it didn't look like it was an arm or a shoulder problem. It just looked like the movement. And I think somebody said in the chat room that he looked like Biron. Anthony said it. Anthony Sr. Is that Anthony Perry?
Might be.
Yeah. He said he did look like Biron to me. So, I felt that game was a disappointment. But listen, onward and upward, as Sergeant Bouchard Brackett says, it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. We're here in the playoffs. It's about to start. I like the matchup. But before we get into that, we got some other things to cover.
Now, you said you had a big announcement. Do you want to make that now, or you want to hold on to that for a few minutes?
Yes. I'll make the announcement right now.
All right.
The word has to spread like a Suffolk County brush fire.
This is your last
show. We're having a brush fire here.
I heard.
It's big news around here. That and the opening of the new...
Cold Stone Creamery?
Arby's?
Arby's?
Well, that place with the quarters. For the Joey Aspis Dumonti. The grocery store with the quarters, Joey.
Aldi's. Aldi's.
You guys have those around?
I know
what it
is. New
York.
I've heard of it. No, they're in Jersey, too.
They're in Jersey?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Indoor plumbing, too.
Nice.
Not like Winnipeg.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You want to give me some kind of fanfare? Or you could scramble, look for something.
Let me see what we got here. How about...
This announcement is big, 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 big. April 18th, which is game 4. It's a Wednesday night. Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party at the Irish Times in New York City. That's right. The Irish Times in New York City. It's right down the street from Cafe 31 under scaffolding, which I think is good because, you know, we want to do a kind of an underground thing. You can go to theirishtimes.com to check out this place. It's a fantastic place. We are going to be holding a Game 4 Blues Underground Radio viewing party for Game 4.
All right. Where is this place?
It's on 254 West 31st Street.
254 West 31st Street. Okay. All right. So, dollar a piece, everybody. Oh, actually, we only got... Well, yeah, we got a dollar a piece from everybody who listens to the show. I'll be there.
I'm going to put up the... it's not actually the irishtimes.com. I'm going to put up the link in the chat room. It's theirishtimesnewyorkcity.com. So it's going to be a blast. Jimmy, I know... We talked about this, you know, but I think this is a good opportunity for us to break bread. This guy is a brand spanking new place. It's got
looks nice.
Yeah, it's really, really nice, and it's a good way to get a foothold. The guy needs some foot traffic. Yeah, I talked to him. He says, you know, he's kind of under the scaffolding, so there's like he's not getting, you know. I said, listen, we're looking for kind of a home. So, Joe D says it's $40 round trip. So,
no, he means he's just counting chat room heads.
Oh, okay. Well, if it need be, and you need if you can get the time off, I will certainly lend you the money to come out. That is a that is
when is that April 19th?
It is April 18th.
18th. That's what I said. Actually, no, it's not. well,
you know, right?
That's what, a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday, yeah. April 18th.
That might be the hardest part of all. Is that it's a Wednesday? Let me see what I can. Let me see what I can do. Never say that.
Justin is flying in, so I expect everyone to be there. We got to make a good impression with this guy. Once we get there, then we make the bad impression by doing what we do. We'll have two waitresses exclusively catering to all our needs, which means drinking and going crazy as we see them beat the Ottawa Senators now. Some people said Ottawa may forfeit before then. That could happen. There's a lot of things. So that is the deal. The Irish Times... NewYorkCity.com. If you want to call for directions or anything, area code 212-216-9355. It's right down from Cafe 31, which is right across from the Garden. You take something at the Penn Station, boom, bam, spin, you're right there. April 18th should be Game 4, Rangers-Senators. 254 West 33rd Street. You know what? If you guys are serious about all chipping in, and I certainly will chip in too as well, we'll get a PayPal thing up on the website to get Jim in here. That would be great. So, you know, it'll be half my heart will be in Arizona. He's not here.
Well, that would be...
Plus,
that would
be... It's going to be crazy.
That would be very nice.
Oh, boy. We haven't all seen playoff hockey together yet.
Nope, we have not.
We've seen some regular season games. You know, playoff will be intense. They'll be carting us out of there. You know, either really drunk and, or just really tense. I would love to see.
Yeah, that would be great. Let's, you know, hey, the biggest, well, I mean, the biggest issue for me would be that it's the middle of the week, but I think that could be arranged. I think I could work around that, but we got to get, send the BSU private jet. Yeah. Yeah, flap my arms.
Jim can set up his own charity. I have nothing to do with that. I mean, you know, I could if he wanted me to. But I think we should just, you know, we got to be there together. It's going to be a fun time in New York City.
The Jim Fund, money for Jim.
That's right, the Jim Fund.
Like the human fund.
It looks like a nice place. Looks like a nice place to me. I mean.
Yeah, it does.
So that was my big announcement.
That's awesome.
So I'll set up the event on the Facebook page and the whole bit, the whole shtick. Now let's get back to business. Let's get down to beeswax. Let's talk about the hypocrisy of this freaking league when it comes to Mario Lemieux and his Pittsburgh hair bad bunch, the ugliest team in hockey. They got more freaks on that team. I mean, from Tyler Kennedy to that Asham. Everybody's weird looking on that team. Malkin is a freak. I mean, he's a hell of a hockey player, but he's looks like a freak. You got Big Lip Sidney. I mean, you got a lot of. I mean, that is the ugliest team in hockey, no doubt about it. And how they cater to them is ridiculous. So I was glad that Dancing Larry Brooks wrote that article. And then our beloved coach, our beloved captain, not a beloved captain, our beloved general, John Tortorella, was the only man, Jim, the only man that had the ball to sack up and say what all of us have been thinking for years. Isn't that right, Jim?
Absolutely. You ready to hear it? Is that my cue?
Yes.
You know what, I'll tell you what, you know what one of my favorite parts of this clip is? It's Sam going all 60 minutes. Listen to how Sam asks the questions.
John, give us your overall assessment about the way the team played in this game tonight.
Played good at times, struggled in certain areas.
Concern for Derek Stepan on that play, on the hit to knee to knee?
Absolutely. It's a cheap, dirty hit. It's just... I wonder what would happen if we did it to their two whining stars over there. I wonder what would happen. So I'm anxious to see what happens with the league with this. Just no respect amongst players. None. It's sickening.
Why do you think that happens, a play like that?
Ask the guy who did it. Ask him. It's one of the most arrogant organizations in the league. They whine about this stuff all the time, and look what happens.
Is there any preliminary report on stuff on how bad?
I haven't talked to Rammer. It's ridiculous. But they'll whine about something else over there, won't they? Starting with their two stars.
Okay, thanks, guys.
John, what went wrong in the game tonight?
God damn ridiculous.
John, what went wrong in the game tonight?
A bunch of whiners.
Why do you think that is, John?
Like Sam's on Dateline.
He's got old Mike Wallace on him. Oh, well, he's dead.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon?
He did. He got very somber. What happened to his voice there? He it was New Year's and he was screaming all day. John,
give us your overall assessment about the way the team played in this game tonight.
John, give us your overall assessment about how the team played tonight.
Maintain your fucking discipline, Rosen.
and it's like Tortorella, his head's ready to explode. Like when Fred Flintstone used to blow his top and his hair used to pop off. That's the way Tortorella was ready. And Sam's like,
so tell me, John, what went wrong tonight? Go ahead, Coach Tortorella. I'm listening.
I think he's afraid of him.
Could be.
John, give us your overall assessment about the way the team played in this game tonight.
John.
John. Mr. Assessment on how the team played tonight.
John, come sit next to me and put your head on my shoulder and tell me what went wrong tonight, John.
What is going on with that guy? He's a creepo.
Oh, my God.
I love it. Listen, I want to hear Tortorella's response again. I love this. Play it again, Sam.
Oh, you were brave. You were breaking up a little bit. All right, you want to hear it again? Where are you?
John, I'm afraid of you.
John, give us your overall assessment about the way the team played in this game tonight.
Played good at times, struggle in certain areas.
Concern for Derek Stepan on that play, on the hit to knee to knee?
Absolutely. It's a cheap, dirty hit. It's just... I wonder what would happen if we did it to their two whining stars over there. I wonder what would happen. So I'm anxious to see what happens with the league with this. Just no respect amongst players. None. It's
why
sick.
Do you think that is, John?
Why do you think that happens, a play like that?
Ask the guy who did it. Ask him. It's one of the most arrogant organizations in the league. They whine about this stuff all the time, and look what happens.
Is there any preliminary report on stuff on how
bad? I haven't talked to Rammer. It's ridiculous. But they'll whine about something else over there, won't they? Starting with their two stars.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, guys, the coach is starting to curse. I got to get him out of here.
Little Johnny Rizzazzo.
Oh, he's starting to curse. Look out now. We got to get him out of here. Hurry up.
Hurry up. We got to get back to vanilla television. Sam just shit his pants.
John, can you stop with the hitting? Don't hit me.
John, will your kids be hiding Easter eggs on Saturday night?
It was
Why
a cheap,
that, John?
Dirty play. But they're whining stars. This is one of the most arrogant organizations.
John, will you go see the Hunger Games this weekend?
But seriously, folks, as a comedian, he said exactly what all of us... hold on, they want...
His name is John Rosasco, and he's a complete idiot.
Jeff.
Yeah, Rosasco couldn't get that over with any faster.
He was probably ready to throw his jacket over Tortorella's head like he's doing a perp walk.
Get him out of here. He's starting to curse. He's going to blow.
Well, you know, I don't ever give props to John Rosasco, but you know what? He could have gotten even worse trouble. I mean, with the NHL and the way... I mean, how much did he get fined for that? Like 20 grand? 2,500?
20 G's.
20 G's?
20 G's.
For that?
Yep.
Oh, that is freaking nonsense. Oh, God. What that's... I mean, that's absurd.
It's just insanity.
It is just insanity. Anyway, so now apparently you told me. See, I didn't hear any of this. I was like somewhere in some kind of Ranger fog when this was all going down. I know he had hurt. He said some comments, and I was surprised, like I said earlier, that he didn't do anything about it on the ice. If he was so out, he had a lot of outrage that he didn't do anything on the ice in the game about it. Now that I hear it, I love Tortorella now even more because he finally has said what everybody thinks. Of course, he pays the piper, but hopefully Jimmy Dolan
or remember there's a hockey team, and we'll reimburse him somewhere down the line or give him free cable for the rest of his life or 3 months. $20,000 should cover 3 months of cable. So
right.
That's the premium packages. Anyway, now apparently there was a response by Sid the Squid.
Duckface?
Oh, God. You know.
Bitch Lips, as he's affectionately known in our house.
Well, the thing is about this player, I think Sidney Crosby is one of the most talented players in the league, but I have never, and I know the whole crybaby thing that's been done, I have not seen such a gimp, such a sense of entitlement in a superstar in hockey ever.
Eddie, ever. Why do you think he's entitled?
I think he's a dirty, cheap, disgusting hick. I think he's got big lips. I don't know what he does with them, but it does include a man's appendage. Let's put it that way.
All right, fellas, it's all over.
Oh, gotta go.
So, anywho, so apparently Sidney fired back. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I have the clip. This clip is 4 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's just about the first 2 minutes of it is him mainly talking about the Rangers and what Tortorella said, and he talks about Ryan Callahan. And he does say something in here that's kind of interesting regarding himself. So let's give this a listen.
Sid, have you had a chance to hear Tortorella's comments?
No. Vaguely got an idea of what he said, but figured he was just blowing up, so I'm sure he'll apologize today about it and everything will be forgotten.
What are your thoughts on somebody calling you and Gino Winers?
I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, if you want, you can put a camera on us all game. Put a camera on Callahan all game and you'll see who's over there more. So he should worry about his own players.
You think this is a little bit of gamesmanship?
Yeah, a lot of it. I don't know when this all started, if this is part of the new tactics heading into the playoffs, but it's garbage. And you know the game's played on the ice, and you get all this stuff going on. It's garbage. So it's nonsense. And if they want to do it, great. But I'm not going to waste my time answering questions about it all the time. It's getting pretty old.
So does that stuff even accomplish anything?
I mean, if anything, they're trying to persuade officials from, you know, not making calls or second-guessing things. So I hope it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't affect us, but I really hope they're not listening to that crap because it's nonsense. So, you know, they're trying every which way to gain an advantage. So be it. Try it. But, you know, we're not paying a lot of attention to it, but it's getting old.
Is that one of the reasons why there was some credence to being upset with some of the things that Milbury had to say in the sense that he had a national pulpit to spread that message? It just seems like the verbiage has been constant between him and Laviolette.
Yeah, I mean, it's come out of Philly, which it's come out of for 7 years since I played in the league. So, yeah, I'll be the first one to admit it. My first couple of years, you know, I was pretty hard on the refs, you know, and I've come a long way since then, but nowhere.
Yeah, so that's a good place to stop it.
So at first he says, when they ask him about the whining, he says, well, I don't know what they're talking about. And then a minute and 58 seconds later, he says, yeah, I admit in the beginning of my career, I was pretty hard on the referees. He's still whining and chasing the referees, just like Mario did. Not Mario Morgado, Mario Lemieux, of course. Mario, the guy who threatened to sell the team and get out of hockey forever because he didn't like what went on in that Islanders-Penguins game last year.
Right.
Mario Lemieux is the biggest fucking crybaby of all time, and Sid is his protege.
Exactly. Mario Lemieux, and some of us, the older fans, will remember when David Shaw high-sticked him. And he went down like, you know, it was a Zapruder film. I mean, he thought he was shot. And I think Shaw got 12 games of that, a suspension.
Oh, what about Graves in the playoffs?
Right, you're right.
I mean, that was ridiculous. That's a It was a tap across the hand that you'll see happen 100 times in the span of a game, and Graves gets suspended. Mario's hand is broken, they were saying, but he played the rest of the series.
Right.
That was ridiculous.
And I can't think, you know what, though? I cannot remember a player of his ability being that much of a tool. I really can't. I mean, he's a superstar, but he's in like an entire, he walks around with a sense of entitlement.
Yep.
And you know what? This translate. This is a good segue for me. If you have something to say on it, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, you know what? Every one of these analysts that is all over Pittsburgh's jock, I mean, they are literally on their knees, salivating. They can't wait to just jump. They have jumped on the Penguins as the Stanley Cup favorite. All I hear is Pittsburgh and Vancouver, Pittsburgh and Vancouver. None of these idiots will even pick anybody else. They've been picking the same team so long, they forgot what's going on. Pittsburgh, to me, is a team. Yeah, they got some scoring. I don't like their backline. I don't like their goalie. They're going into the playoffs with a goaltender who's got a .913 save percentage. I'm sorry, that doesn't scare me. I know he's won a cup. I know they got some offense. I mean, all it takes is one hit to Crosby, and he's out. I mean, it's not like they had a great season. I don't understand why it's going to take, you know, a couple rounds before somebody maybe recognizes the New York Rangers won their conference. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference for now. And these people with the Vancouver and this, I mean, it just boggles my mind. Everybody just wants to totally anoint themselves. These teams are anointed already, is the finals. It's going to be a tough playoffs for a lot of people. You think that Pittsburgh-Philly series is going to, you know, it looks like it's shaping to be very brutal. It's going to be brutal.
I agree, 100%. And I, well, we'll get into playoff predictions Wednesday night. But
okay,
we can talk about it then. You ready to go to the phones? Since we're
let's go to the phones. I want to hear what people got to say.
All right. First up, haven't talked to him in a few weeks. Thanks for holding, Frankie. How are you?
I'm doing just fine down here in Fort Myers.
Good. Glad to hear it. So what are your thoughts heading into the playoffs here? Are you excited? You think the Rangers got a chance?
It's all dependent on Tortorella. I think Lundqvist will be there. But, you know, this last game with Pittsburgh, when he started out in the first shift with Staal, I didn't understand that at all. And before 2 minutes were up, we were already down 2-0. And,
you're really down on Mark Staal.
I think that he has played himself into the fifth defenseman this year, and Tortorella trying to make him something more than that when other guys have played better than him. I don't understand it. I just don't like it. I've posted on Facebook that Delzato was a plus 30 when Tortorella started switching him around, and Delzato is like a whipping boy for Tortorella. I mean, he doesn't have a different partner every game. He has a different partner almost every shift. I mean, it's like, how many different guys do you play with? Bickle, Strowman, I mean, Staal. I mean, like, and he doesn't even play on the left. He plays left side, right side. I mean, the kid is only 21 years old.
You don't think I was just seeing if you're paying attention.
Badney, I remember him going to White Plains Ford years ago with Dave Maloney. I chased him out of the dealership. That's when I was working for the bank, and we were doing a car check. I hated Badney. He was one of those stick players, always used a stick. Even as a Ranger fan, I didn't want him on the team.
But you don't think, now, Frankie, you don't think, now I agree with, you know, when Stahl first came back after the, you know, when he came back to the Winter Classic, he wasn't himself. But you don't think the last 10, 15 games or so he's played better?
He has played better, but he's still, you know, he killed the Rangers in that game. The first two shifts, it was a minus two. Granted, I think two of the first three goals were deflections. I think the Rangers actually played better than the other than Pittsburgh in that game. I mean, than Washington in that game. But they just started off so poorly because why is Tortorella switching the pairs, defensive pairs, this late in the season? He should be tuning up the team for the playoffs. I don't understand this constant changing around. You know, he should be locked into pairs by the 80th game of the season. You know, I mean, there's no more time for experimentation. And I wanted to say two more things. I thought your big surprise tonight was that the Rangers signed Kreider, but I guess not. And
not yet. Not yet.
I was looking at the stats for Dubinsky. Dubinsky, you know, like he is like in that Neverland with Anisimov. They're both centers playing out of position at left wing. And I'm looking at stats for Dubinsky. Dubinsky, I know he hasn't finished well this year. He's just not used to being a left wing. But his hits are like way, way up this year over last year, despite what Blue Shirt Banter said about his hits being down. And his plus-minus is way up this year. Who is he, like a plus 16? And I think, you know, my favorite captain, Callahan, I think he's like a minus 8 or a minus 9 this year. Like, there's like a 25-goal differential between Callahan and Dubinsky. And Dubinsky doesn't play with scorers. He plays with Boyle and Fedotenko, you know. And so, I mean, he's got to be doing positive things on the ice when Dubinsky's on the ice for him to be a plus 16, because his wingers are not scoring 40 goals. His wingers aren't even his wingers aren't even scoring 15 goals. So for him to be a plus 16, he's got to be doing some positive things. You know, so I think that he's gotten a bad rap this year. I think Anisimov has gotten a bad rap this year. They've been team players, played out of position, just to cater to Tortorella's incessant switching around. And I think Delzato's been the same thing. He's been a team player. He's allowed Tortorella to move him all over the ice. The only thing he hasn't played this year, I think, is goal for the Rangers, Delzato. I mean, Tortorella, I don't understand him at all.
I would say, you know, Delzato has saved a couple goals this year.
Yeah,
I mean, he really has.
I don't think he's going anywhere in the offseason. I just think that what Delzato brings to the ice is an offensive defenseman that can actually play defense and put points up on the board. So he's not going anywhere. I think if we go for a high-priced winger, I got to believe they're going to do a salary dump with Stahl and Dubinsky. And I hate to see some team get Dubinsky and put him at center,
Dubinsky.
And all of a sudden Dubinsky becomes a 20-goal scorer again. Yeah.
Dubinsky.
Well, I certainly agree with you that I think Dubinsky had played a lot better the last 15 to 20 games. And even Boyle to some extent. Boyle has been steady defensively all year. He came on with the goal scoring at the end of the year. I know Jim doesn't like him too much.
And Dubinsky and Boyle didn't get to 200 and something hits each by having a good 10 or 15, 20 games. Accumulating 200 plus hits, that means you had to be doing that over a longer period of time than 15 or 20 games. Not unless you're averaging 10 hits a game, which nobody does. But I just think that they, you know, they are what they are. You know, they're not finishers, and they're playmakers, you know. And Anisimov and Dubinsky, we don't have wingers right now in the organization that are ready to play unless Kreider is the solution. So, I guess we'll have to keep them at left wing where they're – and then we don't have a lot of right-handed shots. You know, that's another problem that we have. We're predictable on the power play because we know all our shots are left-handed, so they sort of canter to the left because they know that's where the puck is going. And you have to shoot if you're a lefty, you have to shoot across to get it to the right side of the ice. And that's, you could play that way. You could, it's easy to defend. But we have some help on the horizon. St. Croix is a right-handed forward. And Michael St. Croix, that numbers are, you know, indisputable. You've got to give him credit.
I certainly give the boy, the youngster credit, but we're in the playoffs now. Let's not talk about the future. I want to know how you're breaking this down, us against Ottawa. What's your feeling? What are your thoughts going into it?
Okay. I'm afraid of Spezza. Good player. Soft, but we don't touch him. So that's a problem. You know, if we play him physical... I actually saw Girardi throw a couple of hits and knock some people down. If Girardi hits Spezza, if Dubinsky plays it physical and Boyle plays physical, and if this stupid flu thing that's got Gaborik doesn't hold him back any, because he is a, you know, he's very quick on the ice. We don't want him to have any lung issues out there being sucking wind because he's got the flu.
Who's got the flu?
Gaborik.
Okay.
Gaborik.
Okay. Yes.
But the game isn't until Thursday, so he's got time to recover. By the way, we got these wonderful flu shots at the VA clinic. If the Rangers can't get them up in New York, they have to come down to Fort Myers to get vaccinated. I mean, you go through this. Every season, Lundqvist has the flu. I guess he never heard of a flu shot. But
Franklin's going to take them all down to the VA clinic in Fort Myers and get them all shot up good
for next season. Yeah. Well, anyway, so the thing is, we live or die with Lundqvist. He's our man. And if our defensemen and our forwards do what they're supposed to do, I don't want them to do anything more than they're supposed to do. Play within themselves. We play a defensive, low scoring, hard checking game. If that's what we do, then we will be successful, at least through the first round. But if Tortorella starts switching people around, you know, like, you know, hockey, when you're playing hockey, it's all angles and stuff like that. And, you know, players ask to play in different positions. The angles are different. And when you backskate, it's just a different game when you're in a different position. So I just hope Tortorella gets his brain back and he plays everybody in their right positions, although I think Dubinsky and Anthimov have resigned themselves to being left wings, and they've been fairly moderately successful this year. So that's
all right,
what we're going to do. Lundqvist is our key.
Frank, before we let you go, prediction.
What?
Hold on. B-52 bombers flying overhead?
No, I'm at the entrance to my complex.
Before
I took my little walk. I took my little constitutional.
Who's going to win the series and how many games?
I don't know. I'm not a predictor. I mean, I would like to think that I would like the Rangers to win. Like I said, it all falls on if we stick within what got us to the playoffs. If we stay a defensive style, hard checking, low scoring. I think Lundqvist is our savior. If we go outside what made us successful, then we're done. You know, so you got to figure it out. You know, like, who is he going to put on the ice for the first shift? I'm hoping Girardi and McDonough, you know, but
right.
I don't know. He's a hard guy to figure out, Tortorella. You know, You can't start us in the hole like he did in the Washington game. Can't be experimenting, you know?
No.
All right, well, then you got it. You heard it from Frankie from Fort Myers. His prediction doesn't want Tortorella to be monkeying around. Just bring it straight forward like you were doing earlier in the season.
If McDonough and Girardi start the first shift, then I think we're okay. If he starts getting outside what got us there, then I think we got issues.
Sounds good. All right, Frankie, listen, we'll talk to you next time, okay?
You have a good night.
Take care,
gentlemen.
Frankie.
Thank you.
The one and only Frankie.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
What?
Zsa Gaborik.
Zsa
Gaborik. Zsa. That's what it's called now.
He caught me when I started. I didn't think he was going to pick up on that. Did you hear about naming? I said they put him out there with Redden and Malik and Barry Beck. Finally, when I got to Vadney, he realized I was goofing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Who's next? Who's next? Justin, what's going on?
What's up, man?
You get to follow Frankie.
Yeah. I get to call Hagelin.
Lusick.
Hagelin.
Gaborik.
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 Zsa Gaborik.
So what's going on, Justin?
Not too much, man. How you fellas doing?
Doing good.
Doing good?
Did you guys, what?
I was going to ask you. I said, you know, you watched the Capitol game with Jim. What was your feeling? Were you disappointed the Rangers couldn't close the deal? I mean, after, you know, basically it looked like it was in their hands to win the President's Trophy and they didn't.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed. All right, that's an understatement, but
what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
It was my fault.
Yeah, it was your fault.
Jim will tell you why it was my fault.
Because he showed up in his Broadway hat. He had the Broadway hat on before the game was over.
Oh. Yeah, so you jinxed it.
I jinxed us, yes.
Well, I don't believe in jinxes. Because, you know, I just don't believe
in
them.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, that Pinocchio.
But I don't believe in jinxes anymore. I was kind of bummed, but then I wasn't, because I'm just waiting for the playoffs. The President's Trophy is going to mean squat. All it means is in the talking points for these people to say Vancouver's won back-to-back President's Trophy. They're the first team since 2000, whatever. It's like, who cares? The real nitty-gritty comes down now.
Did you guys hear about Kreider?
Well, I heard he's on the verge of signing. Maybe announced tomorrow. And I was going to bring this up with Jim later. If he does get signed, we'll play part of the interview we had with Chris Kreider.
Yep.
Which it's very interesting. I'm certainly he will not be interviewed that way by anybody from Madison Square Garden. So do you think – now, there's a little debate out there, Justin, about whether Kreider is ready. How do you feel about that?
Well, I watched every game of the not the whole season, but the playoffs,
playoffs,
and he was a man amongst boys. I mean,
well, he literally is. He's like 28 now. So. Right. Okay.
He really was. I mean, his work along the boards is good. He can hit. He can back check. Obviously, he's got good puck skills. You know, he can do it. He can dangle a little bit, and we know he's got a mean shot. So, I mean, listen, Torts' system is not difficult. It's based on simple foundations, and I don't see any reason why this kid couldn't step right in, especially for Johnny Malkin.
Well, let's remember, Mitchell is a center, Kreider is a winger, correct? Left wing?
Kreider, I believe he's a right wing, I think.
Yeah. So, it's going to be a tough thing, I think, you know, for Tortorella. Now, I know Tortorella got a look at him in camp. I don't know how good of a look he got. But I think certainly if the Rangers can't get any offense going early on, that he would be a good addition. But
well,
I also don't want to – go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think they're going to sign him, you know, if they're just going to – I don't see them signing him to an ELC. The news that I'm reading about is that they're going to sign him to an NHL contract. So if they sign him, which it says imminent, then he's going to either be on the bench or play. So all these people who are concerned about him, you know, burning a year off his ELC or off his rookie contract, sorry to disappoint you, but look, this is it. This is a cup run, you know? You got to do what you got to do. We'll worry about his ELC in the future.
Okay. Well, that's certainly an aggressive way of looking at it. And see, my feeling is this, and I know Jim wants to say the predictions and all this. If the Rangers come out and play their lockdown defense and say, nah, 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 Ottawa, with this offense, you want to run and gun, and they get their forecheck going, they won't need a Chris Kreider. That Ottawa will get frustrated easy. They're young. I feel like they're not fully developed yet mentally. I think they have a couple players on that team that could disappear very easily in the playoffs, and McCulloch and even Daniel Alfredson to a certain point. He's just a little long on the tooth. And I really think the Rangers, if they play their game and say, listen, this is how it's going to be played, and this is almost like an amendment to what Frankie was saying, but this is more lucid, is that you know, if they can establish the type of game that they play very early on, it's going to be, you know, a short series. I really believe that.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I know we had a struggle against them, but I mean, how many times have you seen a team, you know, lose most of their games in the regular season and come back and play better in the playoffs, you know?
Right.
And that thing with Callahan being a minus player, that Frankie said, come on, seriously.
Hey, look, Frankie's got his stats, he's got his ways. Well, listen, we got to move on. We got to take some more calls. We got a whole bunch of people on hold before we get to the end of the show. But we'll talk to you Wednesday night.
All right, see you guys later.
All right, take it easy.
Later.
All right, that was Justin. We'll keep going to the phones here. 862-266. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
I'm just listening.
You're just listening.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put
Thank you
back
you.
On hold. You're welcome. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Skype. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. Who's this?
Hey.
What are you? Are you on Skype or do you block your number?
No, it's my cell phone. It should come up, though.
No, it doesn't come up. Bella, how are
you? That's strange. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So I won't keep you long. I just have a few things to say.
Okay.
First of all, fuck Washington.
All right.
Seriously. Who cares about them? They
People
didn't play well. I just think we blew the game. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't play well. Oh, well, it's not the end of the world. People are jumping off the fucking bridges because we didn't win.
Well, I mean, I'm not jumping off the bridge. But, I mean, you know, playing – I mean, if you go back to the Philly game where they really only played well in the first period, they played 8 bad periods of hockey in a row, and that's not the way you want to go into the playoffs in any sport.
No, I totally agree.
But
really, I mean – there's nothing you could do about it. The only thing that I didn't like was if they were going to go in and play like shit and throw the game, put fucking Byron in. Like, don't embarrass Hank that way. And not that Hank was perfect, because he wasn't. But, I don't know. I just didn't see any life in them at all.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
Well,
didn't care. There was no hitting. That's going to be the big thing in the playoffs. Like, they're going to have to be physical every night for fucking 3 periods. That's it.
Yeah, they're going to have to hit, and they're going to have to get back to the way they played in the first 40, 50 games, which was come out every night and hit. And I'm sure that Tortorella's going to say this. He's going to, you know, Ottawa's known as an offensive team. They're going to be schooled on don't take any stupid penalties. We don't want Donchar and Carlson on the power play against us. They got some skilled forwards. Don't take stupid penalties, but we've got to be aggressive, and, you know, we've got to maintain our discipline here. So I think now the only concern is can you switch it on after, as Jim said, you know, it's true. They've only played the last 8 or 9 periods have not really been that great for the Rangers. Can they switch it from that to playoff mode? It may take a game or two.
Yeah, it may take a game or two, but, you know, I mean, I think coming down the into the end, I think the main focus was let's not lose anybody. Let's not have a bunch of injuries. You know, let's play the game, but not take unnecessary risks. Like the Penguins game, no, I wasn't really that upset about that game. And if we're going to slack, slack now. Let's not slack in the playoffs.
Yes, well, my only concern was that Hank didn't play all that well in that game. And at least in the Flyer game, he was getting peppered with a lot of shots, and I was kind of like, okay, I can deal with this because he's making a lot of saves, getting a lot of shots, getting a lot of looks. And in the Capital game, it was just got such a poor start. The whole team, it was like over before it even begun. I think a lot of Ranger fans felt let down. And again, it was a home loss, where I think a lot of fans thought they were going to win it at home for them. And sometimes as fans, we get trapped into that mindset, and you know, you just got to move on. This is the real part to really get crazy about now.
It was a little disappointing, but whatever. On to the playoffs.
We shall persevere, Bella Bell. We shall move on. We shall succeed.
Our
others have failed.
We will, and we're about to whoop up on the Sens. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I posted it in the group. Did you see the link for the Ranger Hate the Rangers 101?
Yeah, what is that all about?
Yeah, well, fuck the Devils. Like, what is that about?
Some Devils fan from the website In Lieu We Trust, which is the SB Nation Devils site, wrote an article on the Ottawa site, like tips on reasons to hate the Rangers. And it was really, I mean, honestly, it was stupid. Even Senator fans were like, you know, this is stupid. I mean, all he did was talk about Sean Avery, of course. And then he said Henrik Lundqvist is a choker in the playoffs. The guy's got, his numbers are pretty good in the playoffs. Let's forget the fact that he's had no offense and no power play every time he's been to the playoffs, except for the year with Jágr. But Jágr got hurt in the first round. So
the guy was just an idiot. Best player in the playoffs.
And I responded to him that I said, you could have got a Ranger fan to write a better article as to reasons to hate the Rangers than this idiot.
Yeah.
If you go back and read the article, Bella, you'll see my response on there.
Yeah, I was going to comment too, but I was just like, whatever. It's the fucking bitch works. Like, who cares about them?
Exactly.
You know, but whatever. On to the playoffs. Maybe I'll get Justin to come in for the viewing party and we can all do some shots together and calm our nerves.
What?
I'm going to be drunk as a skunk either way.
All right,
Bella.
Well, I'll let you guys go.
All right, Bella.
Have a good night.
Calling in. Talk to you later.
All right, bye guys. Bye-bye.
And yeah, AK Power, you're right. And I don't have to be diplomatic anymore because I don't run Blue Shirt Banner. In Lieu We Trust sucks, and the guy that runs it is a fucking douchebag. Huge douchebag.
Whoa!
And not just because he's a Devils fan. And he's a Giants fan, but he's still a fucking tool and a douchebag. He runs that site like he's their commandant. You can't curse. You can't joke around. You can't talk about anything but the Devils. You can't stray off topic. He's a robot, and he's a douchebag. So fuck him and fuck his site and fuck all his writers and fuck his team. Sound like Chandler. I need the dings.
I wasn't on it. I didn't know. I didn't. I love it. I love the angry Jim. It's like the evil James T. Kirk.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
You're not going to miss the guy.
Let's see. 862 is just holding. We got Mandar and Howie. We got 20 minutes to go. 646-478-4692. If you guys want to call in, we will be back Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And we'll kind of set the table for the whole series, trying to get some Ottawa Senators guys come on the show, and their fans want to come in, and we'll hang out and talk about we need Rosasco to escort Jim out. That's funny. All right, so let's bring in Howie and Mandar. Mandar, how are you? Howie, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey!
Good evening, gentlemen. How's it going, Mandar? Orioles are off to a good start. I know
they're losing,
called, but
they're losing tonight.
Did they
lose tonight? Can I get a shut up cutter for his birthday?
Oh, of course you can. Is he here?
Yeah, he's here.
Oh, hold on. Here, first we got this.
Oh, brother.
Then we got this.
Oh, brother.
Where's the
brother?
Oh, that's loaded wrong. That's supposed to be the sweep. Where is? Yeah, sweep.
Shut up, Cutter! Shut up, Cutter! Shut up, Cutter!
I don't know why that makes me laugh.
This is funny.
So what's going on, minds, boys? Enlighten us.
Are either of you concerned at the way the Rangers played the last three games?
I myself. You know, I wasn't concerned the last two games. I knew they weren't going to go all out. And all these people getting all bent out of shape. Oh, we're not going to get the President's Trophy. Who gives a shit? It's one extra home game. Let Vancouver have it. I don't think they're getting to the finals anyway. So, they're going to have it. I think for the Rangers, the key thing was getting into those last two games and getting there healthy. And, yeah, on the flip side, I'm happy that the league has finally been exposed for the total fraud that they are with the whole double standard with the Pens. That's been a long time in coming,
right?
And seems like the other 29 teams are now on the same page.
Yeah,
it certainly seems
that way. Everybody's starting to come around.
Yeah,
not just the fans saying it anymore.
Thanks, Man. The Falcons.
Oh,
Man,
it's the media without it. I am not in a vacuum cleaner.
Sounds like it.
It sounds like it.
Howie's at the car wash.
He's at Mookie Wilson's car wash.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I move my phone.
You blow drying your hair while you're on this broadcast, Joe D says?
He doesn't have any.
Close to the computer.
Okay. So you're a little bit worried, like to me, it's all a whole new season. That's the way I'm looking at it. It's a brand spanking new season, and I know the Rangers have the personnel to shut down any team in the league. Am I worried about that they're going to score? Yeah, I mean, I think we all are a little bit, but they certainly have a better team than they've had the last couple of years going into the playoffs. So, and I was watching the NHL Tonight predictions. They had Paul Maurice, Mike Johnson, I think it was, and our old friend E.J. Raddick all picked the Rangers, which I was shocked because apparently nobody else in the hockey world, at least up there in Canada, even recognized that the New York Rangers were a very good team this year. Ugh. So how about you, Mandar? What are you thinking? Should we be worried about the last two or three games?
Not at all. Not even close. You people want to, you know.
Who are you calling you people?
Who's ever worried, then continue to be worried and don't enjoy anything. Because bottom line is this team, they had a bad, they played against Pittsburgh. You had no shot going to that. Anybody who thought Marty Baron was ever going to be Pittsburgh is seeing things. And then I think they outplayed Washington for that whole thing. I like the way they played those last two periods. I thought that was more of a sign of this team than they've played the last few games. I'm not worried about this team. There's a reason why they're number one and Ottawa's number eight. I don't care Ottawa went 3-1 or 2-1-1 against us, whatever the freaking record it was, means nothing now. I don't care that Craig Anderson has a 6-0 record at Madison Square Garden with a 1.1 goals against average against us. Means nothing right now. What matters right now is that if any of these big prognosticators that want to jump on the Ottawa bandwagon because they're from TSN and they got to have this national pride will come screeching to a halt when their hometown team, their country's capital, gets spanked in 5 games by the Rangers. And that's what it is. Ottawa's been playing for their lives. Okay, the Rangers haven't been playing for their lives for once. This is a team that's played playoff hockey all year long. The Rangers don't have to ratchet it up now. Rangers just got to play the way they've been playing. Ottawa's been playing desperation mode. It's going to be a different kind of game in the playoffs. There's no worrying about a shootout. There's no 4-on-4 in overtime. And the biggest thing, and I don't care that Ottawa beat us twice in our own building this year, home ice will mean everything. That's why the Rangers will win it in 5, because we're going to win it at home. Take the first 2, split 2 in Ottawa, and win game 5 at the Garden. You can book that.
Uh-oh. We're bouncing. Well, I have to agree with Mander on this. I believe that I agree with him on the Pittsburgh game because Byron started. And I agree with him on the other. Sorry, Bella. Listen, you call Biron Byron. We'll call you on it. We'll wait, though, for a while, though, Bella. I wasn't about to say while you're on the air. I don't have that much courage. But you're right. I mean, I'm not scared of Craig Anderson. Like you said, it's 1-8. We're the better team. There's no arguing about that. There's a reason we are. And like you said, they've been playing desperation. And they're a young team. And in some ways, you know, they have some veteran players on the team. But they have a young team. But I think they're very fragile. And I think if the Rangers come out and don't start Mark Stahl, because if you start him, according to Frankie, you're going to lose the game. Which I think is the most ridiculous point. But anyway, I think all is going to be well in Rangerville. I mean, you know, unless something crazy happens.
And something crazy is not going to happen because you have to shut down one line. You shut down that Alfredson and McCulloch and
yes, the Sens are too clutch. They are fragile.
That's it. They're a one-line team. That's all you got to worry about. And Spezza, you work, and that's done. What I want to see now, what I'm really interested in seeing, is if the Rangers' power play can somehow come to life magically when they've had a kind of a decent stretch over the last 10 games. Because if that's the case, I don't see Ottawa's defense. I mean, Carlson's a great young defenseman, but he reminds me a lot of when Zubov was at the same age. They're really comparable players. Zubov wasn't, at that stage of his career, very much on defense, but a special kind of offensive defenseman. That's what Carlson is, in my opinion, right now. He's a Zubov in the same area of their careers. But the Rangers, I mean, Callahan is going to the net. Richards is starting to turn it on. And go ahead. I mean, who is Ottawa going to rely on past the first line? I don't see it.
Kasper's Dogovins.
Hmm. Oh, no, there's a lot of Dogovins sightings.
Get ready, Sam. They see
it. Oh, that's going to be nauseating.
I we'll break it all down Wednesday, but I think the Rangers have been kind of like kind of an in-between gear ever since they've kind of known they were going to make the playoffs and be the number one seed. Really haven't known how to play with it, really. Like, they don't have a lot of veterans, so I think that's been really what's kind of made them play not so well. And, I don't fear Ottawa. I don't think we should. But we'll have some people on Wednesday to hopefully you'll give us some reasons to fear them. Or maybe they fear us. Who knows how it goes? I would fear, if I was playing the Rangers, I would be like, regular season. Plus, you know, when the Rangers play Ottawa in the regular season, guys, you know, they're not a division opponent. They're not a conference opponent. They're a conference opponent, but not a division opponent. You know, Ottawa's kind of like an afterthought game, you know? I mean, they don't get up for that game. At least that's the way I look at it.
I agree. Okay. And just one more comment about the whole Chris Kreider thing. I understand some people wanting to believe that you can bring up a guy from college who's only a junior, who's never played a second of NHL play, who all of a sudden is going to be able to easily fit into a Tortorella system that it took the Rangers themselves a long time to be able to play correctly. I don't think that Chris Kreider is necessarily the answer, nor do I think he's ready to play in this. This guy has just come from playing, you know, an emotional type of situation. If you put any kind of stock in emotional highs and lows, this kid has already gone through his Stanley Cup playoffs. And to expect him to be emotionally ready to play in the highest pressure situation in all of sports, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and be any kind of a difference maker is foolish. It's absolutely wrong. I know the Rangers are looking and thinking that a guy that scored 21 goals this year in college is somehow going to be this offensive juggernaut that's going to step into a top six forward spot in the playoffs when he hasn't played again 1 second of NHL ice time. And I want to hear him hear about, oh, he's got wheels. Yeah, he's got wheels. He's got college wheels right now. And you keep hearing, I mean, everybody's building him up to be this something that at this point that you're really is such a long shot to happen that you can't say, well, let's make it, let's give it a shot and let's see if it works. No, that's more detrimental than good at this point. The guy is a top prospect. He's worth the wait. He's not a difference maker for a Stanley Cup or not a Stanley Cup. And anybody that thinks so right now is really fooling themselves.
Well, to counter that thinking, indeed, you may be right. I mean, I'm just thinking through history, you know. It hasn't been done often, though. I mean, you had your, dare I say, you mentioned the name Ken Morrow or...
I mean, Ken Morrow on that Islander team. Are you telling me if they didn't have Ken Morrow, they weren't winning the Cup in 1980? Please.
I'm not making that up. I'm just going through history, giving examples. I don't want to fight you tooth and nail if Ken Morrow played a part in winning the Stanley Cup. They had a stacked team anyway.
My argument is people are expecting him to come in and be a difference maker and being the missing piece to a Cup. And if you're going to use Kenny Morrow as an example of somebody who made a difference...
What I'm going to say to you on that is that I'm not using Kenny Morrow. I'm just saying this is a guy that you said the guy just already shot his proverbial, you know what, in the NCAAs. There's a man who came off the Olympics. He participated. He fit into a team that already had a system. Al Arbor. Certainly, I don't want to praise the Islands in any way, but he did make the team. He did. I wouldn't say he was a difference maker, but he certainly got a role and was good at it. Now, with that being said, I do agree with a lot of what you have to say. But wouldn't you like to see Chris Kreider in a limited fourth-line duty? Would you accept this? And Howie and Jim, you guys chime in the chat room. A limited fourth-line duty kind of role, but used on the power play, where Matt Zuccarello... he's sorely missed. I think he might be able to contribute that way. And they saw a good look at him in camp. And you know, a lot of the players, including Brad Richards, really thought he was NHL ready then. Now, I know you don't want another player engaging your player. So what do you guys feel about him in that kind of role? And maybe not to go, listen, this guy's a top two guy. He's got to play, which is not going to happen. Tortorella is not going to play guys that he doesn't know well. It's just not going to happen. So what do you guys think about that limited role that I've kind of put up? We'll go with you, Jim, first.
Yeah, I would be completely okay with that.
Howie?
I do think he can help.
You know, you limit his minutes that way, but you allow him to get some time on a power play. And, hey, he can't hurt you. You know, he's pretty much on the fourth line. He's not going to hurt you that much. So, yeah, why not?
Now, I want to go to Mandar because I know Mandar's probably got a more lengthy answers to this question.
How can you say
Cam
hurt? This is a guy who hasn't played 1 second of the in the NHL. He can't hurt. Put him in limited ice time. Why, if you want a guy to develop, how are you going to develop a guy playing 2-3 minutes a game in the playoffs? He has experience of sitting on the bench, and this is somehow helping his future career. Because, again, you got to think of this on the business aspect of it, too. He loses a year of his so he's got to be on his entry-level contract. So he becomes a free agent a year sooner than he would have to keep a guy on a bench who might be able to help on a power play 3 or 4 times a game, might not. I mean, there is no positive value to having this guy coming in at this point. Because, to be honest, again, this is typical Ranger fans overrating their young players right now, where this guy is not a tremendous superstar coming out of the college ranks. This guy wasn't even getting the most minutes on his own team in Boston College. So I can't believe that this guy's going to come into the NHL and make that much of an impact difference. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'd be glad to be wrong. But so many Ranger fans are more wanting this to happen than are realistic about the shot of how much of a difference it can make.
All right. Duly noted. Duly noted. Would you like to comment on Michael Delzato's 10-goal, 31-assist season this year at a plus 20?
Stop it. Stop it with the Delzato love. Number 4, he's not that good. We overrate our players.
Michael Disaster. Michael Del Turnover. We've never heard a mea culpa from you for that.
Plus minus. Eddie, what was this plus minus in the end?
Stop it.
Plus 20.
Right, and in midseason, what was this plus minus?
It was like plus 30 something.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We don't care about how he's played recently. Let's just talk about the stats he accumulated in the first half.
Oh, now here we go. Come on. You're using that as your escape.
Wait a second. I know none of you guys have ever worried about the fact that, you know, you get an open shot and you shoot it basically into the crowd or rush it around the boards. I know. That's not something that happened either. I'm
21-year-old.
I haven't put the guy down. I've just said that I still don't see the offensive genius that everybody else, again, wants to see. Did he have a better year than last year? Of course he did. Was he a productive player on the team? Absolutely he was. But I'm not ready to anoint this guy to be anything more than what he finally figured out to be.
Ryan McDonough was a plus 25. Come on. Time for you to fess up and admit you were wrong, and maybe I'll believe you about this Kreider thing. He's never going to do it.
I still get the same amount of frustration as excitement from the guy, I'll tell you that.
Well, I agree. He needs to hit the net more. He misses a lot. But I could deal with that. I could deal with that as if he continues to progress. If he doesn't,
And I'll tell you what, and a lot of people don't want to do it, but that right there, his improvement has come as a direct result of Tortorella. And you got to give the guy props for that. That guy has coached that guy up from a disaster what he was last year to a serviceable NHL defenseman this year.
Who had 40 points.
Stop it.
Stop it. Delzato love.
Stop.
All right, folks. Well, we got, 2 minutes left in this potpourri of Ranger-dom?
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
And, Eddie, the donate button is up on blueshirtunderground.com.
Okay, so if you want to donate to get Jim here, how much do you think an airfare would cost? I have no idea.
Well, I put up a little post. The airfare's current. I just looked it up. It's running about $400. So.
Okay.
And if I can raise... If I can get close to that by Wednesday night after the show, then I can hit I can get that price probably because it'll be a 7-day advance. So,
okay.
Pressure's on.
All right. So go to the Facebook page, visit us on Facebook, blueshirtunderground.com to donate. The viewing party is April 18th, Wednesday, Game 4, the Irish Times. Go to the Irish Times, NewYorkCity.com. Check them out. It's right across from the garden. It's going to be a big event. We're going to try to fly Jim in, and they're probably going to cart me out in a wheelbarrow.
Both of us.
Win or lose. And Howie, I want to see you there. Fly down from the Poconos on your private jet.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Well, take care, everybody. Jim, Mandar, Howie, thank you for joining us tonight. Jim, God bless the New York Rangers. We'll see you on Wednesday with the Ottawa folk.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you later.
Yep. Take care.
Good night, everybody.